Are we stressed out to the max and under such pressure to get it all done that we can't set the example?
Welcome to the Winning Family Podcast, the podcast designed to champion parents to raise spiritual leaders. Hi, everyone. It's Rodney and Michelle Gage, founders of the Winning Family Podcast. We're super excited to have you join with us today in this episode. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about what it really looks like for you as a parent to raise strong, morally, spiritually resilient kids. In other words, it is our prayer that you raise up spiritual leaders that will make a tremendous impact and also influence their peers, their generation. And so the question is, how do we do that? And so over the next few episodes, we're going to be specifically unpacking some steps and really some guidelines and guidelines for you as parents to kind of serve as a framework to kind of walk through and talk through some of these spiritual matters in your home, maybe between you and your spouse. And specifically, hopefully this will be an opportunity for you as parents to learn how to engage in these spiritual conversations with your kids. So obviously I'm joined here by my wife, Michelle, and we just want to invite you into a conversation. Today specifically, we're going to be talking about what it looks like to be a spiritual trendsetter in our home. Because Michelle, that's really where it begins. It begins right in the home.
That's right. Absolutely. There's no greater teaching moments than for our children to see how we teach by example, not just the words that we speak, but we got to set a trend of how we want them to live. And the earliest that we can start that as possible is very, very important. It's been said that the first 4 years of a child's life is even more important than 4 years in college, which is very countercultural, counterintuitive. You wouldn't think that, but it's really true. As our kids are now having children, you can see that, how important it is, just the way that we talk to our children. So I think right up front, it's good to talk about that because some parents have had great legacy that they are following after, and they've had some trendsetters that they have looked to as their parents, or maybe even their grandparents, mm-hmm. or maybe even a mentor in your life you're looking to as somebody that has been a spiritual trendsetter for you in your life. But if not, guess what? God has you listening to this podcast for a reason, and we just want to encourage you that no matter where you're at in your life, no matter what the past looks like, today we can begin and start setting that trend. You know, you look to people that are trendsetters in our culture, like a Taylor Swift or someone like that, or a sports icon that is setting trends and everybody gets their shoes or gets their purse. You know, we can set the trend spiritually in our home, and we can choose today to do that. If we haven't been doing it, that's okay. Let's start today. And if you've had that legacy that you're looking to, what a blessing, what a gift that you get to continue that legacy.
Yeah. I think, you know, one of the most common things that we hear a lot, especially from the younger generation of parents, is that many of them were not blessed to be able to be raised in a Christian home. Mm-hmm. Some unfortunately endure the pain and disappointment of seeing their parents divorce.
Right.
And, or maybe, you know, they grew up in a blended family situation and there was maybe this constant bickering related to, you know, well, it's going to be this way in our house, but you know, when you're with your father or you're with your mother, you know, that's up to them to whatever they want to do. And so there's so many different challenges that today's generation of parents are facing. And sadly, for many, they feel intimidated. Many feel obviously inadequate. Mm-hmm. And it can be somewhat overwhelming and daunting, especially when you're trying to balance all the other areas of responsibility, you know, between work and home and financially and all these other things. So I think sometimes maybe for a lot of parents who have good intentions that really want to help their kids spiritually, the first thing that they do is say, okay, we need to go to church. We need to find a good children's ministry program, or we need to find a good youth ministry mm-hmm. program. And hey, we 100% applaud that. Yes. That is amazing. That's the that's one of the first places, you know, we should start is just right out of the gate. You know, find a church that's committed to the families, that's committed to coming alongside and sowing into and investing into parents to help encourage and equip. And that's what this podcast is all about.
Right.
Because, you know, we realize that maybe some, you know, that are desiring to make a spiritual difference in the lives of their children, maybe they're not involved in a church, or maybe they haven't found one that maybe, you know, has some of those type of resources, you know, those type of environments for their kids to take advantage of. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, Michelle, I read a number of years ago a book that really impacted me, and it was by George Barnum. And he did a study, and here's what he learned. This is staggering to me, that one out of every five parents admit that they do not feel adequate to addressing spiritual and moral issues with their kids. In fact, in his study, he found that using like 15 different areas to measure so-called parenting success, spirituality and morality ranked at the bottom of the list. Yeah. And really what that was, it was kind of almost an eye-opening, you know, reality that so many parents today who grew up maybe in a non-Christian home, grew up in a situation where they just didn't have, like you stated, spiritual mentors or, you know, voices to speak into their lives. And now here they are coming full circle as parents, and they feel totally inadequate. They don't know, because foundationally they haven't had anybody really sow into them to really get a picture of what it looks like.
And honestly, that's why we do what we do, is because we want to share what we were so blessed to have. And we know that there's so many parents, a large majority, that are struggling in this area, or maybe don't even realize they're struggling in this area, but are starting to learn that how important it is.
Yeah, I think regardless of really where you might be, let's just say you're listening today, watching this, and, you know, maybe as we just emphasized, maybe you were blessed like we were, you know, fortunate to be able to be raised in a Christian home. But for those of you that are listening or watching, and maybe that's not your story, and maybe something has triggered that sense of urgency for, you know, you to really begin, maybe your kids have just started entering into school, and that's always a daunting, terrifying, you know, experience for parents sending their kids, you know, to school where they're going to be literally spending hours upon hours, not only on a daily basis, but on an annual basis away from you as parents. And they're going to be sitting under the voices of influence by other individuals. And so that's where sometimes many, many parents are just feeling intimidated, because they know that the complexity of what kids are being exposed to, what they're learning, hearing, you know, obviously what temptations are out there, you know, the negative influences from their peers, just the overall negative, in many ways, somewhat toxic culture in which we live today, and so many controversial things that are swirling around, even starting as early as preschool, elementary age, you know, environments. And so a lot of parents are like, okay, it's time to go to church. It's time to pull out our Bibles. It's time to come up with a game plan. And again, we applaud any parent, if that's where you are and you're just beginning this season and you're trying to figure out how do we lay and establish a foundation. All I know is it takes an enormous amount of wisdom, takes an incredible amount of tenacity, persistence, and whatever you do, I just want to say, don't beat yourself up as a parent because you don't have all the answers. You know, don't put unnecessary guilt, you know, on yourself because, you know, you're not where you wish you could be or should be in your own spiritual journey. But as you just stated a few moments ago, let's just start fresh and new. Let's just, you know, let's just push redo or push, you know, restart. And, you know, I love the game of golf because you have something that's called a mulligan. It means you get to start over if you didn't start out right.
Yeah, I need a lot of those.
Get another shot.
I need a lot of those. I love this scripture, Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commandments that I'm giving you today and repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them on your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Mm-hmm. I love that because this was the commandment that they were to teach their children and to train them, but to love the Lord wholeheartedly with their whole heart. And to me, that's that word passion, you know, to love God with all your passion. And I think if you haven't seen what that looks like, I encourage you, you know, to get into a church or continue to watch this podcast or listen to this podcast. But teaching our children as they're growing up from as early as possible to have a passion for God. And we do that by our passion for God, our passion for the Word of God and our love for the Word of God, our passion for prayer. And as you're mentioning earlier, passion for the church, a passion and a heart for the church. Just if that's the way that we set the trend in our home is by the way that we truly live. And our kids, especially as they get older, you can't kid a kid. You used to say you can con a con, but you can't kid a kid.
Right.
So it really does start with us. We're the ones setting the trend. We're setting the culture for our home.
Yeah, it was said of Jack Frost. He said, you teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are.
Yeah.
And that's always challenged me on a personal level because it's like, okay, well, what am I reproducing? Who am I reproducing?
Right.
And is the life that I'm living, is it something worthy of being reproduced?
Right.
And I think that should really strive as a, I think in many ways, kind of like a spiritual checkup, to serve as a spiritual checkup in our hearts as parents.
Yeah.
And ask the question, you know, to ourselves, what adjustments, what kind of restructuring and reprioritizing do I need to make in my life to put Jesus first? Mm-hmm. You know, and this is easily a topic, and we'll have to do a whole nother podcast on this in the future, but I don't want to go off on a tangent and soapbox here. I have often said that I believe that the new Holy Trinity is made up of three A's: academics, the arts, and athletics. And I think what's happened in our culture today is that those three areas, athletics, academics, and the arts, have become the driving force that in many ways is kind of forcing families to revolve around those areas. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things. Mm-hmm. by any means. Nothing's wrong with cheerleading or volleyball or little league baseball or pick your sport, pick your activity, doesn't matter. Nothing's wrong with any of those things in and of themselves. But I think what's happened is those things have become such a dominant area of focus, priority, time, money, all of these things now are competing with our time and really our focus and our priority on our relationship with God. So therefore, rather than making church a priority, if I've heard it once, I've heard it many, many times, you know, and you have too, a lot of parents just say, oh yeah, we would love to be able to show up for this. We'd love to be able to go to that. We'd love to be able to sign up for this event. But we have a tournament out of town this week. We have cheerleading competition. We have, you know, my daughter has a dance recital. I mean, the list goes on and on. And so the question really becomes is, okay, well, what is priority? And what are we communicating to our children by example, by saying yes to all these good things, rather than saying no to a lot of good things, so we can say yes to the most important things? And so doing less is more, you know, doing less activities and focusing more in our relationships with each other And it all begins in our relationship with God and communicating and showing by example to our kids that, you know what, we're not going to forfeit our relationship with God. We're not going to substitute, you know, our priority when it comes to going to church for all these other things, regardless of what all the other families are doing. Yeah. That's where it gets a little dicey and a little controversial among, you know, a lot of parents and a lot of kids feel the pressure because, you know, they want to be where their friends are and do what their friends are doing. But at the end of the day, what is most important?
Well, I think just living intentionally in every moment. So some of those things you're going to have, obviously, in your life. I think that, you know, we've got to get our priorities. We decide those prior to we putting them on the calendar. We put those big rocks in first. And what are those things so that we can be that spiritual trendsetter in their life and show them how to calendar around priorities that really have an eternal impact. But I think in the moments that we are on the way to school or on the way to ball practice or on the way to that competition, most importantly is who are we becoming along the way? Who are we becoming along the path? And just setting that tone, you know, whether it's in the car or on a phone call, on a text, where is our heart? How are we setting the example? Are we stressed out to the max and under such pressure to get it all done that we can't set the example because we're just maxed out? Mm-hmm. Or are we allowing some space in our heart and our mind where we've prepared for that ride to that tournament that has our children and maybe their friends in the car with them? Hey, we're going to listen to some music that's going to glorify God and lyrics that are good for our heart and soul. And we might even bring up a conversation, a spiritual conversation that we thought about prior to.
Yeah.
These are the kind of things that we can do to be a spiritual trendsetter in their life. And one of my favorite memories is when from this scripture that we were talking about a few moments ago in Deuteronomy, where it says to put those scriptures on the door frames of our houses. We took that literally. I know that that comes from ancient times, but we took that literally in our home when our kids were really, really young. And I put some scriptures above the door frames of the house. And one of those was Psalm 138:8 that says, "The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me." And that scripture, that same plaque that we put over the doorway of our kitchen doorway is now on the mantle of our fireplace at home. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. And just living that truth out with our children when they face difficult times, reminding them that the Lord's going to fulfill his purpose in you. And to even look at that scripture on our mantle now and know that the fulfillment of choosing some of the difficult things, choosing to say no to some good things so that we could say yes to the best things, and look at that scripture and know that the Lord is fulfilling his purpose. We planted seeds along the way. And I do feel like we've been able to raise some spiritual leaders. And that's not in a bragging way, but that is to give God all the glory that we have to in our lives at some point decide that I'm going to be different. I'm going to choose to live different than the norm. Even as a parent, we mm-hmm. may make some choices yeah. that are different than what other parents are choosing. And the kids may, and they did when they were in our home, they gave us a hard time about some things that we chose for our family that was different. And yeah. And I'm thankful now that we chose those things and now to see that passed on, that you can choose different than what the culture is pushing or promoting. You can choose different.
Yeah.
You can be different, and that's okay. And it's great to be that spiritual trendsetter.
You know, one of the main reasons why God obviously gave Moses that command in Deuteronomy 6 is, and it's often referred to as, you know, the Shema. It's the verse 5 is considered the greatest commandment. Mm-hmm. And it's because God never wanted to compete, have to compete with our hearts. Mm-hmm. You know, Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will fall into place. At the end of the day, the reason why that was so important for Moses to communicate that to those parents, because he knew as they were getting ready to enter into the land that God had promised, mm-hmm. that if they didn't keep God first, if they didn't keep focused on him, then what was going to happen is that they were going to be tempted to be distracted and to ultimately drift spiritually from God's original plan and purpose. Yeah. So we have to constantly remind our kids, hey, this is who we are.
Right.
This is what is most important to us. And not only that, but this is why this is so important. Yeah. And I think what happens is that when kids begin to see and understand not just what is important to us as a family, but why that is important,
yeah.
and then our priorities begin to basically take shape where it actually backs up and reflects what we say we're about yeah. and who we say we are,
yeah.
now all of a sudden, our family does look different. Now all of a sudden, we are committing to things that maybe is the opposite of what everybody else is saying yes to, but because we've chosen to say no, just like Joshua 24, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Mm-hmm. We're going to put him first mm-hmm. rather than allowing dance to come first or, you know, a baseball tournament to come first. We're going to put God yeah. first.
Yeah.
And I think that's great what you talked about, Michelle, just to wrap this up, is just the importance of having that consistent conversation and taking mm-hmm. advantage of every window of opportunity yeah. we get that's open to us in those car rides, when our kids are getting up, when our yeah. kids are going to bed.
Yeah.
Just the reinforcement of, once again, hey, I'm praying for you. God has great yeah. plans for us as a family. God's got great plans for you.
Yeah.
It's just sowing seeds right. in their minds and in their hearts, mm-hmm. laying that foundation
yes.
so that our kids are going to school, mm-hmm. not just knowing who they are in Christ, but ultimately whose they are, who they belong to. That they belong to God.
Yeah.
And as parents, they belong to the Lord. So therefore, it's a tremendous responsibility of stewardship, stewarding what God has entrusted to us,
right.
which is our children, who is an amazing blessing and gift to our lives. And so
That's right.
Being yeah. that spiritual trendsetter is so critical.
Yeah.
And we set the tone. And I like to say it this way, we can close with this. It's just...
I want to share one more thing before...
No, you can't share it. But no, seriously, I think it's important. It's been said that you can't become who you need to be by remaining who you are. Mm-hmm. So what changes need to be made? Mm-hmm. What are some things you need to stop doing? And what are some things you need to start doing mm-hmm. to help set or maybe reset mm-hmm. the spiritual tone in your home?
That's right. I love... My dad passed away 4 years ago unexpectedly when the pandemic was hitting our world, and we were shocked. And he passed his Bible to me many years before that happened. And so he had a lot of handwritten notes. It was a daily walk Bible. So he had written and highlighted and dated different things. But in 2 Corinthians 2:9, the scripture was Elijah had asked his protege, Elisha, is there anything that I can do before I leave this world? And in the Message translation of the Bible, it says that he said that your life repeated in mine is the request that he had. And as I thought about that, reading my dad's Bible, it just really hit me, because that would have been my request, that, or is my request, that I could repeat his life, because he was such a spiritual trendsetter in my life.
That's good.
And that is my heart's desire. You know, our kids are gone from our home. So we've done that. We've marked off that part of our parenting. And now we move on to the next. But I always want to be known as a spiritual trendsetter. I would like to be able to say that my kids would say that they want to repeat the kind of life that I've lived. And that's, I think that's the ultimate compliment. That's the ultimate thing yeah, that we can,
absolutely.
we can go to the end of our life with, if we could live that way. Life is short, so we have to live intentional, and life is long. We got to stay encouraged, and that's why we have this podcast.
It's so good.
Yeah,
that's right. And we just want to say to those who are listening and watching, first and foremost, we're praying for you, because we know this is a lot easier to sit and talk, but as you're in the grind, as you're in that battle each and every day, it's a lot harder to practice than it is to preach, that's for sure. But you can do it. Yeah. With God's help, you can do it. And we're here to walk alongside. And look at us as maybe those spiritual mentors you never had. Look at us as maybe somebody that you can kind of lean into. And not that we've got it all figured out, we're perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But at the same time, you know, based on what we've done in our own lives and what we've been exposed to for 33 years of marriage,
right,
for, you know, over 30 years of ministry, and all that we've seen, heard, people that have shared with us things they did right and things they did wrong, you know, mm-hmm. We just want to pass that on to you, because we know that the more that we can hear and understand and learn just on how we can build that strong spiritual heritage and foundation for our family can make all the difference in the world. So we just want you to know that, hey, we love you guys. We're praying for you. You can do this. You can do this. That's why you have your churches and your pastors and you know, people, godly examples, mentors that you can lean into and allow all of those support pieces, not to replace, but to support and reaffirm everything that you are investing into your children's lives with. So, hey, hats off to you. We're praying for you. And we're so thankful that you have chosen to join with us in this conversation. I'm excited about our next episode. So make sure to tune in and join us for our next episode of The Winning Family. Until then, we encourage you and we're praying for you to be the spiritual trendsetter that God has equipped and called you to be.